And this is Wednesday, September the 27th. I'm Isabel Tuning, and I'm interviewing Lou Wiseman Stewart again, a follow-up interview, and she has hopefully some more good stories to share with us. You have some more stories for us today?
Yes, I think so.
Good.
We will just go from here.
We're going to try to watch the time this time and make sure that
I flip the tape over. Okay. All righty. Well, the one fun story, we were talking about some of the things that we did in Brownsburg, young people did. There was no television, my gosh, there was no computer, there was none of those things. So what on earth did we do? Well, this was a time when we lived at Anhassie's, which is just beside the Weitzels, and just as you go up to the school, the house was there. So anyway, my brother was, he must have been a sophomore or junior in high school. So he decided that he, like all kids, that he had to have a car. So he went out and bought himself, I think it was a Model T. He worked some for the Pattersons, Ed Patterson's family on the farm, so he must have had some money. So he went out and bought himself this Model T Ford. And then he and his friends would work all week on that car to get it going so they would have it on Sunday to drive around. And he had the car painted, and then he named it, and the name of that car was Elizabeth. Not Elizabeth, Elizabeth. So he had
the, how do you spell it?
It's Elizabeth, but he had the name printed across the front of it, and then he had a long mark across the B-E-T-H. That made it Elizabeth. So that was Elizabeth. Well, anyway, goodness, I remember Sam Patterson, and Carl kept it in the lot between John Layton's house and our house. And his friends would come up there, and some of them were mechanical, and some of them just came to have a good time. So anyway, I remember Sam Patterson. I think I can remember Ed Patterson coming. Leonard Tolley from the other way. I mean, he came a long way. And Richard Beard. I was talking to Richard when Carl died, and Richard said, "You know what? I really remember coming up there and working on that car." That car.
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. I didn't remember too much about Richard. And some of these guys, I think, just came to see if they could get a date for Sunday as well as a car. I accused Richard of that. But anyway, and I think Kenny came, and the Carwell boys. There were three or four of the Carwell boys. Well, most of them were mechanically inclined, so they would come, you know. And every afternoon after school, there was somebody out there helping Carl work on Elizabeth so they could get head all primed up for Sunday.
And whoever worked the hardest got to ride.
That's exactly. Or whoever could get a date that Carl approved of, or could get her sister, then.
Oh, I see.
Then that was a deal too, you see. I don't know where in the world they got the money for the gas to put in the thing. But that's what they did, and gosh, my sister and I had a good, and Marjane, we all had a good time too out there, but we didn't know too much about cars.
With
but
all the boys.
We knew the boys. Did, yeah. We knew about boys anyway. And then another thing that we did real often was when Molly Sue and Fred lived in that square house right at the foot of the place that you go up to the school.
Mm-hmm.
I think they moved in there soon after they were married. Anyway, I don't know whether the croquet set was theirs. I assume it was. I don't know. I don't remember, but I assume it was their croquet set. So they put it up there on the side yard. And of course, any of us just went over there and played croquet just like it belonged to us. And anytime we could conjure somebody or three or four into playing, off we went and played croquet. And this particular, I don't know whether it was a weekday or a Sunday or something. Anyway, John Layton came along with us to play croquet. And Marge Ann, my sister Frances, and me, and that's, I don't know if I can remember, that's about all I think who were playing this particular day. Anyway, we were all having the greatest time, and John Layton, who was ever the joker, began to name us, give us all nicknames, you know. He's, and my nickname was Leviticus of all things. And I guess it was just because my name started with an L, so it was Leviticus. And he said, okay, Leviticus, it's your time to start. Go. Anyway, and I don't even remember what Marge Ann's was. Maybe she'll remember. But my sister's was Peeva Julius. Peeva Julius. And that was because she was so tiny. And he was sort of hooking it up with Pee-wee. And then it just got all wound up. Well, somehow, somebody shortened that name to Jude. From Peeva Julius to Jude. And from that stuck. It is absolutely unbelievable. It stuck. And from that day to this, everybody who was real close to her called her Jude.
I knew you had said Jude last time, and I am happy to know the story.
That is the story. It's unbelievable. But that's what we did. And then a lot of times we played croquet also over in Mrs. Morris's yard. I mean, there was the beautiful yard over there. And maybe, I don't know how we decided one yard or the other. But see, the ones on our side, the yards on our side, went down to the creek, so you couldn't, it wasn't flat enough, so we had to conjure up somebody else's yard to play croquet. Anyway, we had lots and lots of fun. Another thing about my sister's nickname, I think she kind of liked it. She didn't fuss about anybody, you know, calling her that. In fact, we all did. Even Mother and Dad wound up calling her that. And then after she was married, and after she learned to drive, she bought herself a car. My goodness, this was years later. And you could put the licenses, the numbers on whatever you wanted, you know. And so she put Jude, J-U-D-E-M. And of course she had married Tinker Moore, and her husband's, her name was Moore. So it was Jude M. And she said they were having a picnic, all the post office people, having a picnic out at Robinson Lake. And the Lackey boy, Fred Lackey, who worked at the post office too, was just driving behind them all the way out to Robinson Lake. And he got out there, he said he couldn't wait to get out there, so he went over to Jude and said, "Francis, what in the world is Judum?" "What in the world is Judum?" So she told him. But anyway, that's how she got the name.
That's a good story.
I
have to think of Marge Ann's name, though. But
yeah.
Book. Or I'll have to ask her.
Yeah, I don't know if she'll remember her name or not, but I bet she will. And then this was another thing that happened. I guess, let's see, I must have been a sophomore in high school. And we were still living at the same place. And I don't know why. I guess Aunt Hassie had a cistern. And she didn't get the town water. I mean, you know, she was kind of, we'll do it my way kind of person. And she was my father's aunt, so she'd be my great aunt. Anyway, she in the kitchen, she had one of those pitcher pumps. Do you know what a pitcher pump is? You see them in antique stores, and you pump the water up. Well, she had that in the kitchen, and we had the whole house then, and the Carwell girls came up one afternoon. I think it was Helen was still here. You probably don't remember Helen because she went to Ohio, and she died up there. But she was one of the older ones, and then Mildred had started the school in my class, but anyway, Helen was older than she, and Catherine might have been with them. I don't remember whether Catherine was with them or not. Catherine was younger. Anyway, they just came up to visit one Sunday afternoon, and back then it was a real big deal. You know, these senior boys would get their high school rings. Well, of course, the next thing you do, some girl would try to con them out of their high school rings. And boy, back then, you just bought one. If you got money to buy one, you were doing great. Well, anyway, I was dating this boy. He was Doris Blackwell's brother. And he was a senior in high school. And Miss Trimmer took a very dim view of that. There were three of us sophomore girls who were dating senior boys. And she let Mother and Dad know she didn't think too much of that. But anyway, I got his ring, his high school. Well, it was way under too big for me. I mean, just way under too big. So I had put some kind of just plain old tape around the thing, and then put some plastic on the outside of it and all that bunch of stuff. Finally got it so I could keep it on. Anyway, these Carwell girls, and I guess my sister was there, I don't remember, and we were all in there messing, doing something in the kitchen, getting us something to eat or something, and that ring shot off of my finger, and do you know it went in that water pump, down in that pump. I thought I was going to die. I thought that was the end of my life forever. Well, we forgot all about what we were eating or what we were going to do. And all of us worked. We tried everything to get that. Finally, Helen I did say her name was Helen, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. She got the idea of getting a clothes hanger and undoing it and taking, you know, bending the little thing at the end and poking it down in there. And she did. And she got that ring out of there. And I am here to tell you, that ring went back the next day at school. And if I don't know where Mother and Dad were, they would have killed me if they would have known all this was going on. They were someplace else. But anyway, I took that ring right back, and I explained to him this meant nothing, that we weren't breaking up or anything like that. But I just had it. I was
too, not going to go through. Too much responsibility.
No, sir. I was not going through that again. So bless his heart. I don't know whatever happened.
What was his name?
Elmer. Uh-huh. Yes. And I was still dating him when he went to England. and he was over there until after the war. And Phyllis, I talked with Phyllis, his sister, years later. Phyllis said, I had to tell him you were engaged to Boyd Stewart. Anyway, that's the story of that. But that was, I mean, it was a trauma. It was a real trauma for me.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Today, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, my grandson lost his BMI ring. And they, Balfour, will replace at once. So,
oh.
So he will get replaced. But not such, I mean, and I'm sure that BMI ring cost 10 times as much as that as a little high school ring. But boy, I mean, you just, there was no money floating around.
Did girls get high school rings,
yes,
too, when they were seniors?
Oh, yes, indeedy. Yes. Yes, we all got high school rings, and even us, who even our class who graduated in 44, right in the middle of the war, we were able to get high school rings. And, of course, somebody stole mine, but I still, yeah, when they stole all my jewelry, but I still have Boyd's high school ring. And we ordered them from Balfour, so.
That company stayed in business
a long time. Absolutely. So, anyway. And then another thing, Isabel, I wanted to be real sure that these guys who were killed in World War II were mentioned in the museum, because they were all a big part of our high school life. And we have already mentioned George East, but George Slusser, and I wanted to tell you that George was, he and I corresponded back and forth just as friends, and then he and my brother both wound up in Italy. Carl was 1 year younger than George, so he was later getting there. But anyway, Carl went through, it went to Southern Africa and on up into Italy. Anyway, George told me to let him know exactly what Carl's address was and so forth, because he really wanted to look him up. And before he was able to look him up, he was killed. George was killed.
How did people find out when somebody was killed?
Well, it was just terrible. It really was. I've told you my brother was wounded 3 times, and at that time we were, between the time I just told you, we bought the house that we lived in until Mother and Dad moved to Lexington, and that's where we were when Carl when he graduated from high school and went into the service. And I was in Lynchburg twice when it happened, but one time I was there and we saw the guy coming up on the bicycle. Now, to this day, with a telegram, and to this day I don't know where he came from, whether he rode the bicycle from Lexington. I have no idea. But he rode that bicycle up and then put up his bicycle on the ground, came up to the front door, and handed us a telegram.
So
that's,
you
tough.
Knew that if somebody came with a telegram, it was bad news.
Bad news. And that was really tough, because you know, you didn't know. You saw this guy, and you didn't know what the news was going to be. But anyway, we were lucky. We were lucky. And that one time I was there, we just jerked the thing open. And we could, the thing said that he was slightly wounded.
That just,
and after that, it was just,
thank goodness,
yeah. And then another time, the other 2 times, I was in Lynchburg, but I came home for the weekend, and somebody was having a party. It runs in my mind that it was Ag over at the Lackey's house, and I don't know what it was for, anything, but it seems to me that that's where I was going that night. And then after I came home, and they told me that they had gotten this wire, and he was wounded pretty badly the first time, and that was the first telegram. And I don't think Mother wanted me to go to the party, or she just thought it wouldn't look decent. Anyway, Dr. White, I believe, was the minister. And I don't know how Dr. White got the news, but he did. And he came in, and he said, "You know, Carl, sorry, Carl would want you to go to that party." He did. He said, "That is exactly what he would want you to do." So I went.
So you did.
I went.
Yep.
Yep. And had a great time.
Really?
And I told Carl that. And he said, "Well, sure." He said, "You can do anything to help me."
Right. And then how, was it a long time before you were able to get a letter from him after he was wounded?
Yes.
So you knew he was wounded, but then?
Wounded. Didn't know how much, didn't know how badly. I mean, I've told everybody, I watched Mother's hair turn gray.
Oh,
I bet. Can you imagine?
No.
I mean, well, there was not even any telephone conversation.
No.
That you could have, because even the letters were all marked out.
Oh, censored. They were censored.
The letters were all censored.
Oh, I
they were
didn't
all put
that.
On this V-mail, little V-mail pictures, and they were all censored. And so you never knew what the real truth was, even after you got. Oh,
I
really?
I didn't know that.
My goodness, I know I have some email. They called them V-mail. V-mail instead of email. I never thought about that before. But I know I have some of those around here.
And what was marked out? Where they were? Or
it's whatever the censor decided.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most of it was supposed to be where they are, or maybe where they were going,
mm-hmm.
or what they were going to do, any of that. It was nothing left except just, I'm doing fine. I love you, hope to see you soon, or that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
It makes sense when I think about it, but that had just never...
Yeah.
It
was terrible. And we never really knew how badly Carl was wounded the first time. And he had shrapnel in his neck that he carried to his death.
Mm.
That just, you know, was almost, it would have, a little bit lower, he would have been... he would have been paralyzed for life, and a little bit higher, he'd been killed. So that's when he was wounded worse. The second time, I don't remember too much about it. I think that must have been shrapnel also. I know the third, anyway, one time was shrapnel, and one time was fire. But he recovered from that. So anyway, and then when he was shipped back, he was sent back to the place down between Staten, I told you, and Fishersville. And that was because they wanted to get him as closely home as possible. And by that time, Carl was fine. He wasn't fine, but he was up and walking around. And then later on, he had stomach ulcer. And at that time, they thought it was, I don't know what they thought, they had to remove. Anyway, they removed over half of his stomach.
Mm.
And he had for the rest of it, and he was, gosh, he was 21. And for the rest of his life, he had to eat about 5 meals a day because he didn't have enough stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he got just a tiny little bit of disability. It was really kind of ridiculous.
Mm.
But he should have gotten more because he was really not, after that, he was not able to work really.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he lived a long, productive life. Two children. But anyway, it was tough. I don't see how parents manage. It's hard enough these days, but you can communicate.
Right. Oh, it just must have felt so isolated from
absolutely. Me. And there was just nothing. There was just nothing you could do about it. You just hope for the best. That's all. But anyway, and then Troy Hickman is another one of the guys who were in this, who was killed in the service. And Troy was in the class, he must have been the class of 42 that he graduated from high school. And Troy, I don't know where his parents lived, but he stayed with Mrs. Dice, who lived around the road there from the Sterrett's farm. Mm-hmm. It's now on mm-hmm. Sterrett Road.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now. And she was a widow, and Troy lived with her and helped her take care of her farm and so forth. And I was telling you last week about Dad driving the bus. Well, Troy and Mrs. Dice rode on that bus
every time mm-hmm.
To church. And there was great camaraderie between those two people. But I don't know where his family was, and I'm sure his family was notified, and that's about all I know about Troy. But mm-hmm. I do know that he was killed in World War II. And then, of course, we know that George East was killed, and also Graham Dixon, and Graham was Boyd's first cousin. His mother, Boyd's mother, and Graham's father were brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. And he went to school with you too?
He went to school in Brownsburg. He was older than I, and I'm not sure whether Graham went to high school and graduated. I'm not sure about him. I know that at the time he went in the service, he was really helping his father on the farm. So I'm not sure whether he graduated from high school, but he did go to mm-hmm. Brownsburg School, yes, and was a part of that. And they brought, he and his family went to the little school up there on, anyway, close to where they live. And Boyd went to the school at Oak View. And in about, when I was in about the fifth grade, they brought all those kids to Brownsburg School, and that's when Graham mm-hmm. came to Brownsburg. And I expect he was in about the sixth or seventh grade at that time. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to be sure that...
I'm glad that you knew about those, because that's important.
Yes, very, very important. And so, anyway, it's been fun.
Well, I do appreciate it. You've just given me so much good information.
Well, I'm so glad. I really have enjoyed your coming, Isabel. I really have.